I will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. And then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. And the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in days gone by, as in former years. So I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive aliens of justice, but do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. Well, it's quite enough in those verses just to keep us going this evening. The Lord Jesus Christ here is referred to as both a refiner's fire and a refiner. So Malachi says in verse 3 that he will sit as a refiner and purifier. And in verse 2 he says that he is the refiner's fire. So the Savior is both the refiner and the refiner's fire. Now, in these verses, Malachi refers to two different kinds of people. First of all, he refers to John the Baptist. He refers to John the Baptist in verse 1. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Now, that's the very verse that Jesus quoted in Matthew 11, verse 10, when he was referring to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist did that. He faithfully prepared the way for the Lord. He did so by getting a people together, a people ready, so that when Jesus appeared, John the Baptist simply handed over these people to Jesus, saying, look, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Follow him. So John the Baptist did his task. And then after John the Baptist, we read in verse 1 of the next person, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that suddenly, the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant whom you desire. Now, Jesus was a messenger. He's a messenger of the covenant. Has this gone off? No, still going. It's just me. I could go off. He is the messenger of the covenant. And as a messenger, he just brings good news. But he's not just the messenger, he's also the establisher of the covenant. And again, we read in verse 1 that he comes to his temple. And we know that Jesus did that. As a baby, he was brought to the temple and Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed him. And we know that when Jesus grew up to be 30 years of age, he once again came to his temple and he cleansed it. And again, he came to that temple and he taught in it. And Malachi also says in verse 1 that he's the one that people desire. And as we get to the close of the Old Testament, we are left longing for a greater prophet, priest, and king than we've ever had throughout the whole of the thousands of years of the Old Testament. Every prophet, every priest, every king has failed. They've all done their tasks to a greater or lesser extent, but they've all failed. So they are desiring a perfect prophet, priest, and king. And that is found in the Savior. Now, Malachi tells us about this Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that Jesus will do two things when he comes. He's got this twofold ministry. It's a ministry of both salvation and judgment. Salvation and judgment. Certainly, he's a Savior. We've sung about that. The scriptures testify to that. We also know that he will come as a judge. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 says that we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So in this one person, Christ, there are these two things, salvation and judgment in Christ. Now, as the Old Testament looked towards this, they saw both these same things happening at the same time. Both these things happening at the same time. So they saw that when Jesus came, he would bring judgment and salvation. That's why they so easily speak about judgment and salvation in the same breath or in the next verse. But we know through the perspective of the New Testament that these things were separated by thousands of years. So when Jesus came as a baby to die upon a cross as a man, he brought salvation. But one day we know he is coming again to bring judgment. So now it's a day of grace, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But there will come a day when people will not call on the name of the Lord, but will call upon the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them, to cover them from the wrath of the Lamb. So Jesus has come as Savior. One day he will come as Judge. We know they've been separated. We know they've been separated by 2,000 years so far. It might be that the world will go on for another 2,000 years. Dread to think what it would be like. Or actually, it might be really exciting. But we don't know when he's coming back. But he is coming, and when he returns, he comes as Judge. But Malachi didn't see the separation of thousands of years. Malachi saw them happening together. That's why in verses 2 to 4, Malachi can speak of the Savior, of Jesus as the Savior, and verse 5, really quickly, as the Judge. So let's consider Jesus as the Judge there in verse 5. When he comes again, he will come as Judge. Who are the kind of people that he will judge in verse 5? Well, it says, "So I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive aliens of justice, but do not fear me." Jesus will do this when he returns. We know that he's coming back. There are 210 chapters in the New Testament, and it's mentioned 318 times that Jesus is returning. Jesus said he would come back. In John 14, "If I go, I will return." He will come back. And he will come back as Judge. Malachi mentions six kinds of people that Jesus will judge when he returns, and they are listed there. And all that list, they are sins against humanity. Every one of those things, somebody has committed a sin against another person. Whether it be a sorcerer to deceive, an adulterer to ruin, a perjurer to hurt, one who defrauds laborers of their wages, or all the rest of them, they all hurt people. And that's where we'll be judged. Oh, bless you, it's very sweet. It's my daughter. Bound to be sweet, isn't it? And that's all those things are sins and crimes against humanity. Every one of them. Every one of them. But every crime and sin that we do against a person, God counts against himself. That's why it's God that is the judge. And each of these six things listed down here, then none of them are in a position to exact justice from the one who sinned against them. They're all in a position of weakness, whether it's a widow or an orphan or an alien, which sounds odd, a person in another land. None of them can stand up to their oppressors. But it is God who stands up for them. And we can cry out today that there is no justice in the world. And that might seem to be the case ever so often. But there will be justice one day. And that justice will be brought about by the righteous judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all those who have sinned against others without repentance will come under the judgment of God. That is not a popular teaching. And yet it's what the scripture says. It's not that these six kinds of people are condemned because of what they've done. They are condemned because they haven't repented of what they've done. And that's the big thing. That many of us might be guilty of these kinds of things. Maybe not in action, but in thought. How can we survive? Well, it's because of repentance and the Savior's work in our life. And so Malachi goes on to speak about the Savior as a Savior, not just as a judge. So the second thing he tells us about our Lord Jesus is his ministry of salvation. He comes to bring salvation. Verses 2 to 4 speak of this salvation. To those who turn from those six things, and lots of other things besides that we might have committed, to those who call upon the name of the Lord, then there is salvation. As we sung, he is mighty to save. Mighty to save. And verses 2 to 4 speaks about salvation in an unusual way. An unusual way. It speaks about salvation from God's perspective and not our perspective. So look again from verse 2. Who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? He will be like a refiner's fire, a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in days gone by, as in former years. Now, to us, that all seems a little bit odd and a little bit Old Testament-ish. How does that speak about salvation? It does so in a wonderful way, but not from the way we're used to looking at it. When we speak of salvation, we usually speak in terms of our forgiveness, our acceptance, our escape from hell, and our glory with Jesus forever. And it's all to do with our blessing. And salvation is this, of course. But here, salvation is put in terms of not what it means for us, but of what it means for God, from his perspective. So the end of verse 3. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. The Lord will have offerings brought in righteousness. Salvation is here seen all to do, not with our blessing, but with God's glory and God's honor. And here we see that God will make for himself a right people bringing right offerings to the right God. Which is like the reversal of the Old Testament, because they should have done that, but they never did. So the people were so often wrong, and their offerings were out of place, and they often offered them to the wrong God. But salvation from God's point of view consists of a right people bringing right offerings to himself. For God will be worshipped. Now, we saw that in Malachi chapter 1. Just turn back to chapter 1, verse 11. Malachi 1, verse 11. God says, my name will be great among the nations, from the rising to the setting of the sun. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to my name, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. There is a certainty about that verse in Malachi chapter 1, verse 11. Notice the repetition of this will. My name will be great. In every place, pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great. Here is God's sovereignty. Here is his power. He will be seen to be great, and he will have a people who will bring him worship in the right way. God will make sure of that. Jesus said something similar when he spoke to the woman of Samaria. He says that the Father is seeking worshippers, which is an amazing thing, because we view salvation as people seeking God, and it is that. But from God's perspective, God is seeking people. And he is seeking people who will worship him in the right way with the right offerings, in spirit and in truth. So back to Malachi chapter 3. When Malachi here is speaking of salvation, he is speaking of it in terms of what it means to God and the glory that it will bring to God. Yes, of course it will bring blessing to us and forgiveness to us, but it will also make sure that his name is seen to be great among the nations. Now, that should have been the case in the Old Testament, but they failed again and again, especially the Levites. And the Levites are mentioned here in verse 3. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Those Levites had failed. But the Lord is going to do a new thing. He's going to make for himself not just one tribe, not just the tribe of Levi, but all his people to be priests. So we can speak about the priesthood of all believers. It's not just one particular tribe or one particular person, but every believer in Jesus is a priest. We can all bring our offerings and prayers to him. So when it speaks about purifying the Levites here, it's not that literally God is going to do that for the tribe of Levi. That would be a real backward step. In the terms of the New Testament, everything takes a step up. And we are all Levites. We are all the people of God bringing special offerings to him. So God is going to redeem a people for himself that will be for his glory, praise, and honor. So he's going to work in our lives by working in such a way that we can present him pure offerings. So how is he going to do that? Because we know we're sinful. Well, that's where the refiner bit comes in. Verses 2 and 3. He will be like a refiner's fire. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. Now, what's the work of a refiner? Well, I had to look this up. Here's six things that a refiner does. First of all, a refiner takes a lump of precious metal, silver or gold, with all its impurities and dross. Starts with an impure lump of precious metal. The second thing the refiner does is to put that metal into a crucible, a melting pot. It's all cold. And it's impure when it goes into the melting pot. The third thing that happens is the fire underneath that crucible is heated to a very high temperature to melt the metal into liquid. The fourth thing that then happens is as the fire gets hotter and hotter, any impurities in the metal will float to the surface of the liquid. The fifth thing that then happens is that the refiner then gets some bellows and blows the impurities or the dross off the top. And the sixth thing that happens is the refiner continues until all the impurities are gone, all the dross is blown away, and eventually the refiner can see his own face reflected on the surface of the liquid metal. And Jesus sits as a refiner and purifier of silver. He refines us. So we are that precious metal, full of impurities, needing refining, having our dross blown away, which we cannot do ourselves. But he comes, and as a result of his refining of us, we can then bring right offerings and right sacrifices. And so the Lord's will is fulfilled. Now that's how we are to think of the Lord's dealings with us. He's refining us that we might bring him right offerings. And what Malachi chapter 3 verses 2 to 4 is talking about is something that's happening to us today. For the Lord deals with us as a refiner. He puts us through a refiner's fire so that we're purified. 1 Peter brings this out. Keep a marker in Malachi and come over to 1 Peter and chapter 1. 1 Peter and chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter speaks about fire, the trials coming upon us. And here's what he says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith is shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, in this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These trials have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Peter is talking about the trials that Christians go through, and he's saying this is a refining process, so that when Jesus comes, we can offer to him that pure, perfect offering of honor and glory and praise. So the trials of life are to be seen as us going through the refiner's fire. Peter hasn't finished with this theme. In chapter 2, if you quickly turn over to chapter 2, verse 4. Chapter 2, verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. The new Levites. A holy priesthood. It's what you are. And what do we do as a holy priesthood? Offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So Malachi has said that when Jesus comes, he acts as a refiner. He refines us so that we bring these pure offerings. Peter has said exactly the same thing, that the tests and the trials we go through are there so that we can bring spiritual offerings. Now, this so explains our life. And it so explains our salvation. We are so often in that refiner's fire. Our illnesses, the troubles we can have at work, troubles we can have with our finances or our own health, the problems and difficulties we might have with our children or in looking after our parents, the sadnesses and the grief that can overwhelm us at times, the troubles, the concern, the stresses, and just the plain old mysteries of life. All these things are trials and afflictions and sufferings, and they are all part of us going through the refiner's fire. And that fire might be really hot at times. But what is God doing to us when we're in the refiner's fire? Melting us to mold us. Melting us to make us pure. Changing us to show his image, preparing us to offer right offerings, blowing away the dross and the impurities to purify us. And that's how we're to think of our trials. They're not random. They're not, where did that come from? They're not, why? They're the refiner's fire. And who is the refiner? Come back to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 2. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire, a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner. It's Jesus that's the refiner. And the crucible that we are in are his hands. And it's his mouth that's blowing away the dross. Baptist preacher called Spurgeon once said this: the refiner is never very far from the mouth of the furnace when his gold is in the fire. So he knows how hot to heat the crucible. He knows how long to keep us in there. He knows to watch us and draw us out at the right time. And remember what it all leads to: pure offerings and sacrificial praise. And this is our salvation from God's point of view. That he gets from us pure worship. Salvation from our point of view is blessing, one blessing after another, tumbling down upon us, forgiveness, adoption, justification, salvation, sanctification, glorification, every other Asian you can have. They all come down upon us. But salvation from God's point of view is that he draws from us worship and honor and praise. So that the things that we go through are not random. If they were random, it would do our heads in. It's all with a purpose, all to refine us, all for the praise of his glorious grace. And remember who the refiner is. It's Christ. And remember the purpose. It's for the glory of God. Well, let's sing our two final songs, which speak to us about going through this refiner's fire, all for the glory of God. And as we sing these songs, we'll also take up tonight's offering.